On the line now is the Environment Minister, Alex Atwood. Florence Graham, whose brother Gordon was killed by the IRA in Armagh 30 years ago, and joining me in the studio this morning, Victims Commissioner Catherine Stone, and Alex Bunting, who lost a leg and sustained other serious injuries in a booby-trap bomb attack on his taxi in Belfast 22 years ago. You're all very welcome. Thanks for joining us this morning. Alex, can I start with you? Your response to what Geoffrey Donaldson was saying. People were saying on this programme yesterday, this is deleting Bobby Sands from history. This is editing history. It's playing politics with history.
Well, to be honest...
Alex Atwood first, yeah.
Good morning, William, and to all your guests. I think there's one compelling conclusion from what Geoffrey and other people were saying yesterday, and it is this, that there is a danger, and it's very clear from yesterday's comments, that this centre at the Mayo is only going to end up being a new battleground over our history. And what that tells me, therefore, is that we have to move beyond the building and establish a proper process of national reconciliation. And at the heart of that is truth and accountability about what happened during all those years. Otherwise, we will let down, and have been leaving down, but we let down further, victims and survivors on the one hand, and we'll just have more disputes and conflicts about our history. So the decision I made in granting planning, which was the right decision in planning, and in my view, the right decision to put a centre at the Mayo's Longcash, that is only the appearance of things. What we now have to do is get agreement about a process of reconciliation, in the absence of which the centre will become a matter of dispute and not a place of understanding.
Well, Geoffrey Donaldson gave the impression, at least yesterday, Alex Atwood, that the DUP would have a veto on storytelling so that narratives like Bobby Sands would not be included in this. I think that's a fair...
And the nature of our politics, the character of FM and DFM office is that one can block the other. So either we'll have a series of roadblocks around what does or does not happen in the centre, or we do what we need to do very urgently and move beyond the revisionism that is now rampant on this island in terms of what happened in our history, and put victims front and centre of our thinking and our strategy. And front and centre means a comprehensive process of national reconciliation. And a big, big part of that, much bigger in my view than the centre at the Mayo's, the biggest part of a process of reconciliation is a process of accountability by state organisations and terror groups who were responsible for so much pain and hurt. If we don't have that, if we don't have a process to give some sense of healing to all those who are crying out from it, be it the victims of Le Mans, are the victims of Ballymurphy massacre and everything else in between. If we don't have that...
If we're going to tell the story, Alex, shouldn't we just tell all the story?
Oh, yeah, we do. We need to tell all the story. I'm not being...
But you're saying you agree now with Geoffrey Donaldson. He does have a veto.
Oh, sure. Doesn't the history of the last 5 months and 5 years tell us that the bigger parties in the executive can block what might or might not happen?
Well, they can block what can happen in legislation, but can they block what's going to go into the audio guide at the H block?
I think they can. I think that if there's going to be processes or audio or narrative or content in terms of the conflict centre, it'll have to be signed off by the Office of First and Deputy First Minister.
So Bobby Sands will be deleted from history?
No, it's not that. You see, you can have a version. The conflict centre moving forward can end up being a series of vetoes and blockages. And there is clearly that risk. There's clearly that risk. Because Geoffrey Donaldson has put it on the radar that we will not have a narrative that we don't like. And similarly, others will be able to say we'll have a we'll block a counter-narrative that we don't like. So the issue is, do we have the wisdom to work through this, to agree how this is going to get managed, but more fundamentally, do we have the wisdom to respond to what victims and survivors are calling for, truth and accountability. And I have to say, on that issue, I have grave doubts, because it seems to me that the vast interests, the leadership of the terror organisations and individuals and state organisations who know and did the worst have no intention of accounting for what they did or did not do during those years, and consequently have no intention of giving to victims and survivors the truth that will lead to some sense of healing.
Just briefly on this, I want to bring in some victims and survivors, but just very briefly, yesterday we also heard from Jim Allister that he didn't put in a response to the planning application to oppose it, because he said there was no grounds for doing so, no political grounds, or recognise it's just a legal planning application. Is he right about that? Could he have put in an objection on political grounds?
You can put in any sort of objections, but the only ones that have validity are planning ones.
All right, so he was right about that.
Jim Allister has been a wee bit disingenuous.
Well, I think you just agreed with him that if he put in a political objection, then it would have gone nowhere. It was pointless.
It would not have been relevant for the planning consideration.
All right, so he's right about that, actually.
I could give you a mountain of examples where people raise objections knowing that they will not have validity in planning.
Yeah, but Jim Allister's a QC. He knows he's not going to waste his time putting in an objection on false grounds.
I think Jim has demonstrated that he's shrewd enough and political enough to go chasing political targets when he wants to. On this occasion, he chose not to. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I'll give him the benefit that, as a lawyer, he realised that on planning grounds, a political objection was going nowhere.
Well, that was the argument that he made.
Some people will have some doubt about that.
It seems clear that what you're saying to us today, Alex, is that a truth and reconciliation process here is going to dissolve into veto gridlock.
This is what I believe. I don't think that the terror groups and that some of the parties in the North have the insight or the conviction to go down the road of a true process. So what I've been arguing is that, led by the Irish government and people of like mind, both in parties and in the victim and survivors community, that the Irish government and ourselves, that broad family, should shape a truth process. And then, having shaped it and created a position of strength, should then go to the London government and to those who resist that process and say, this is where we need to go. Otherwise, we will just have more pain being expressed by more victims and have not been acknowledged and dealt with.
Okay.
And on the far side of that, it may well be that people in state organisations and the leadership of terror groups will still not give to people the truth and accountability and healing that they seek. But that's nonetheless, that's the process that Dublin and others of a like mind and victims and survivors should shape and lead.
Alex, stay with us. We also have Florence Graham here, who, as I say earlier, lost her brother in an IRA attack 30 years ago in Armagh. Florence, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Florence. Really appreciate it. But what do you make of this debate we're having about these buildings and about how we deal with the truth about what happened in our past?
Well, if it was me, there would be no shrines or no buildings there at all, because the Mays prison was where terrorists went and should still be in it, in my opinion. But there's just so much now. There's so much has gone on now to glorify terrorists, and victims are completely forgotten about. Like, why were the people incarcerated in the first place? Would that be put in an audio visual thing? What was the actions they took to be put in there? Like, just for one example is Francis Hughes, who's one of the hunger strikers. Mm-hmm. One of his victims was a little 10-year-old girl, Leslie Gordon, and she was murdered along with her father when a booby trap bomb exploded onto their car. Her 7-year-old brother was just missed death as well. That's only one in the drop in the ocean. That family to this day, like my own family, are grieving and will continue to grieve. And I, as a victim, an innocent victim of the Troubles.
Tell us a little bit, Florence, about what happened
with
your brother.
My brother was murdered back on the 21st of February 1983, 30 years ago. And it is still fresh in my memory to this day. There's been no justice. No one was made accountable for his murder. We're working with the HCT. They have brought up nothing really either. There's been no memorials, nothing to him. He's a member of a gallant police force. He didn't join the RUC to go out and murder people. He joined it to uphold law and order in our country, like all the security forces. And there might have been a few rogue members, but they have been few and far between. And my brother was not a murderer. Mm-hmm. And yet, all this talk is now to build this centre and, to glorify the actual perpetrators who made us victims. And this seems to be the way that history is being rewritten.
Florence, this planning decision has been taken. This is going to go ahead now.
Yes, it's terrible.
What do you think should happen now to make this work, now that the decision has been taken?
I don't think that there should be any glorification of terrorists in it at all. I can't understand the logic of it.
Do you think that visitors to that site, Florence, should be introduced to key stories of people who were in the prison? And also tell how, as you say, tell how they got there, why they were there.
Yes, well, this is the thing. If this goes ahead and they are going to be tell their stories, the whole story should be told. Their whole life history should be told of why they were there in the first place, because they were terrorists driven by hatred and a twisted ideology. They didn't engage with the security forces. It wasn't a war, it was a terrorist campaign. They shot people in the back, they blew people up, innocent men, women and children. It wasn't only the security forces. And as far as I can see, the younger generation they'll not know the right way of history if this goes ahead. They'll not know what was right and what was wrong. There needs to be truth. As Alex Abbott said, there's been no apologies from the IRA. They're still glorifying what they did and wrecking our country and wrecking people's lives.
Florence, stay with us. You're putting your views across very strongly. Catherine is here as well. Catherine Stone, the Victims Commissioner. The difficulty, Catherine, in telling the story of what happened. I mean, you were talking today about how 500,000 people in Northern Ireland are victims or survivors. Mm-hmm. One in three of our population. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of stories, mm-hmm. and probably more. Mm-hmm. How do we do that? How do we deal with the stories and get to the truth whilst recognising that there will be people who have different understandings of what happened? Even Catherine, Florence using the language of terrorism, others will use the language of combatants, some will say it was criminality, others will say it was a war, it was political violence. We can't agree on those things. How do we do it?
It is very, very complicated, and we're fortunate that Alec from the Victims Forum has come along with me, and I'm sure he'll have the opportunity to speak in a moment. But I did say earlier that our Victims and Survivors Forum, by happy coincidence, met yesterday, and we discussed this topic. Mm. And around the table are people from a whole range of different backgrounds, a whole range of different experiences and understandings. Some of them who would be personally opposed to the development of Mays Longcash as a site, but who understand now that planning permission has gone ahead, now that this centre is going to be developed, it's absolutely vital. And Florence's point is extremely well made, that her brother's account, her brother's story, his name needs to be there, along with other victims and survivors, their experiences, so that there is what's called in the technical jargon a composite narrative. So we have all these different accounts. Mm. When we're talking about truth, that's a very, very difficult concept, because people have different interpretations of the truth, and nowhere more so than here, where you have so many different accounts of what happened. But for me, in building a peace building and reconciliation centre, in talking about conflict resolution, the vital voices that have to be heard as part of that narrative, however it's portrayed, of victim stories. And victims and survivors like Alec, like Florence, and like the memory of her brother, it's vital that they're a really important part.
What that would take, excuse me, what that would take is a kind of museum of the troubles, mm-hmm. where you tell the comprehensive story. Mm-hmm. You can't do that in the Maze-Longkesh site, can you?
Well, I don't know how the Maze-Longkesh Development Board and the organisation that supports that proposes to do that. What I do know is that they have, you know, a leading architect, a world-renowned architect, Daniel Liebskind, looking after the bricks and mortar, if you like. And there are people who are completely committed to a sensitive, compassionate, balanced and sympathetic understanding of how people's experiences are accounted for within that building. So, you know, just to reiterate that point again, I would want to make sure that victims' voices are central to that. And I know that our Victims Forum would agree with that.
Well, Alex Bunting is here, as you say. What's your sense of this, Alex? What should we be doing here?
Well, I know for a fact that yesterday, as Catherine has said, we discussed the issue. And unfortunately, at the end of the day, it's going ahead. The money's through. Everything's set in place and it's going ahead. But we have said that no matter what happens, the victims can't be forgotten. The victims have to have a say in this. The victims have to buy into what's going on, and it just can't be took away by politicians or per paramilitary groups or anything like that. But we haven't actually been asked to speak to the Maze-Longkesh development people, but they have got in touch, and we hope in the future that we will speak to them and we will make our everything known that we want, you know, in it.
But the difficulty here is victims don't agree.
Well,
I mean, we had some victims on the programme yesterday taking different views.
That's right,
this.
That's right. And I have to agree with a lot of what Florence said. But, I mean, we sit on a victims forum and it's from all persuasions. It's Protestants, Catholics, Nationalist Unions. And, I mean, we're realistic about it. Let's be honest about this. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we can only say so much and do so much, but the politicians, the money's in place, the politicians have decided what's going to happen. And, I mean, we're not there to get into politics. We're there to try and, you know, speak out for the victims and survivors of Northern Ireland and get the best for them.
And at the Victims Forum, did you get the impression that there were people who agreed with a site being used here at Maze-Longkesh, which would have historical aspects to it, storytelling, putting the narratives out, the many narratives, including victims and survivors?
Oh, yes. I mean, let's be honest about it. I mean, everybody has their own points of view. But
so which victims do we allow to tell us what should happen here?
Well, I mean, from my point of view, I can only speak like as a person, of me, as a victim. And what I'm saying to you is, you know, obviously I don't agree with, you know, glorifying terrorism, because, I mean, you think of the people, and most of the people who is on the Victims Forum, all of them is either bereaved, injured, and has been, you know, left
horrendous.
Their lives destroyed.
Completely.
And, I mean, what annoys me at times is there's no consultation with the likes of that. And personally, you know, I have to agree with Florence. You know, it's sickening to think that, you know, people who have caused these atrocities, you know, are going to be glorified. If they are, I don't know.
Well, that's
know.
The point. That's the point we need to be able to somehow specify.
Yeah.
And Florence, please jump in at this point as well, if you like, and Alex, you too. We need to be able to recognise what glorification would look like at any point during this process, because you can't have people being glorified, because that's going to be insensitive and offensive for other people. Do we glorify everybody? Do we glorify the UFF and the IRA and the INLA and everybody involved in this? So what would glorification look like as opposed to storytelling and an attempt, an attempt with integrity to tell the story of what happened?
I think that having met some of the team up at Maes Longesh, the care...
They're aware of this, aren't they? They're very careful about what they're thinking.
They're acutely conscious of these things. And, you know, we're very much looking forward, as Alex has said, to working with the Maes Longesh Development Board and with the team up there to ensure that there is the utmost sensitivity and care given to telling people's stories in a way that is not about glorification, but is about telling the story, giving the account and understanding people's perspective. Now, you know, I'm not an expert in how we bring these matters to the fore. And, you know, that's a very difficult challenge for them, I'm sure, dealing with a whole range of different viewpoints and opinions. But I do know, having met them, that they are people of intense, great integrity and will be very, very careful to ensure that there is a proper engagement with the victims and survivors community and that those disparate messages will be heard as part of that
development. And all these differing voices and perspectives, they come with integrity. And we need to recognise that.
Absolutely.
Geoffrey Donaldson has integrity. Raymond McCartney has integrity. Victims and survivors have integrity. People who served in the forces have integrity too. Everyone has a story and a perspective that needs to be recognised in this. I gave Florence a chance earlier, Alex, to just say a little bit about what happened in her case. Can you tell us a little bit about your story?
Yes, certainly. I was a taxi driver in 1991 and I was out working. And I picked up a lady to take her to work in the Belfast city centre. And unbeknown to me, there was a booby trap bomb planted underneath my car. And as we came over Sandy Road to go to the Dublin Road, the bomb exploded. Mm. And I ended up that I lost my left leg and my other leg was badly damaged. And I ended up with a lot of injuries, shrapnel wounds and things like that there. And, you know, I'm very lucky to be alive today. You know what I mean? And the lady who was in the car with me also was seriously injured also. You know, and the IRA did it. But as in saying that, you know, they put a statement out at the time saying it was a mistake of identity. You know, but, I mean, no apologies, no nothing.
It redefined your life.
Yeah. And it changed my life completely. And, I mean, I have a quote that my son always gives, you know, I went out the door to my work and I was one person and I got back a year later a different person and my life's completely changed because that day completely changed my life where I lost everything, almost lost my life, but thankfully it's rebuilt again and I'm trying my best and I'm very passionate about it for fighting for victims and survivors of Northern Ireland because I think we get a very, very raw deal as far as politicians are concerned.
Do you feel like sometimes you're inconvenient to the politicians?
Well, can I honestly answer that question and say, Teddy, you know, when I lobby with politicians, I feel as if I'm an embarrassment to them. And, you know, it's the attitude is go away. You know what I mean? You know, the pay you the time of day of just listen to what you've got to say, but that's it. But nothing really comes of it. But may I say that through the new Victims Commissioner and the way that the new Victims Forum is working, I can see strides going forward and we're dealing with issues that politics and politicians won't take on. And that's dealing with the past. That's, you know, the services for victims and survivors and dealing with the future.